In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Through Jean, God blessed us in many ways. She did much for our church and touched many families' lives. She especially loved children. And she would help them in any way that she could, creating crafts, even when there was really no need for a craft. She was certainly not shy in her personality, but she told people exactly what she thought and was most of the time right. She was fiercely independent, and yet she was willing to help anyone with whatever need they might have, and even was humble enough to receive the help of others when needed. We certainly won't pretend like her life was perfect, mistake-free, or wonderful. She had many struggles throughout her days. Some from her own making, poor decisions, others from the making of others that brought her tremendous and deep grief, and still others that came about simply out of the blue. We need not rehearse them all. But overall, we do well to imitate her. So we thank God for her. But I also thank God for you, the love and compassion that you showed her. You did not abandon her in her hour of need, but you helped her in whatever way that you were able. Again, I need not number. These are your fruits of faith. Faith realizes God has blessed you so that you might be a blessing to those around you. So in her we find the reciprocal love that God requires of us Christians, loving and receiving love, giving and receiving gifts, forgiving and being forgiven, not being so proud as to refuse the generosity of others and yet not being so lazy as to demand the help of others. And yet still it wasn't enough. Our love is weak. Our help is minimal. We could give her hugs, but we could not stop death. We could bring her food and drinks, but we could not grant her health. We could give her a room, a place to stay, but we could not give her those heavenly mansions. We could offer her help, but not immortality. We must face the reality that in the face of death, we are quite worthless. As healthy as she was for as long as she was, even she could not stop death. Her fierce independence could not overcome the grave. So while we thank God for her and all that God did through her, we must admit that for the moment, death has won. We must live in reality. Death has claimed another victim. We cannot pretend like everything is normal. We miss her company. We grieve, but not without hope. We cannot pretend like death doesn't exist. You can try to ignore it all you want, but you can't forever. You can try to act like nothing major has changed, but again, you must face the reality that she is no longer present with us. She doesn't live on in our hearts. Those are called memories. We could celebrate her life, but that results in only a fleeting moment of happiness, or sadly, maybe even bitterness. The reality is, death is still here, immovable, unyielding, real, and certain. It's too much for us. It always wins over us. It always defeats us. Even doctors must admit there's nothing more we can do. It doesn't matter if you want to personify it as Hades or the Grim Reaper, or keep it abstract and simply say this is the way that all men go. Because if death has the final say over us, then it is our Lord and it is our Master. If death is the end, if this is the end of Jean, then she is no longer a human being. And death would be her God, having complete and utter control over her. We can talk all we want about her being in a better place, but if she stays like this, then it's nothing more than wishful thinking. The body is important. It cannot remain dust. The body is her, even as you are your body. But that is why we have gathered here today. We do pay our respects, and we do honor her and remember her fondly. But first and foremost, we gather to face reality. No sugarcoating, no saying what we want to hear, no exaggeration, no pretending like the body is unimportant. But we gather to hear what is real and what is not real. So here it is. We preach the reversal of death, the end of death, the destruction of death, the conquering of death. Not simply for those who happen to live at the right historical moment, and not some virtual reality or virtual life. That is not life. But we preach the destruction of death for all who believe in Jesus Christ. We preach that the physical body will live because Jesus is our God. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our Master, not death. After he spoke to Martha, he went to the grave and then spoke to the dead man. And the dead man Lazarus got up. No longer are we destined to remain dead, but we must live. No longer can we pretend as if the body is unimportant, for Christ has redeemed and sanctified the body, and he will raise the same. Death does not control us, Jesus does. He determines our outcome, not some disease or cancer or grave. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Life not simply for 90 years, but life forever. And not some kind of ethereal, spiritual, mystical existence, but a physical, corporal, concrete existence in the body. The same body that was born from her mother will live once more. The same body now turned back to dust will be raised once more. She was fiercely independent, but she believed and confessed that no one can beat death except for Christ. So she was completely dependent on him, for he died for her. He baptized her. He communed her. He loved her well before she was even born. And as her strength failed and her body became motionless, she still desired to eat and to drink his body and blood. For he was her confidence, her strength, her God, her Lord, her Master. He conquered death for her so that she might live with him. He stopped death dead in its tracks. So no longer do we pretend as if the body is unimportant. No longer do we pretend as if that body is not our true identity, a canvas that we can manipulate as we see fit. But we recognize that this body is whom God has made us to be. And this body will live with our God forever. For on the last day when he returns, Christ will once more call out to all the dead, and all the dead will hear his voice. And every single person who has ever lived on the face of the earth, every single person who has ever been conceived, will come out of their graves. And every physical body will be brought back to life. Some will go to destruction because they do not believe, but others will be given life, for they have faith in him. Then our last enemy, death, will be destroyed. Right now, death holds sway. Right now, it looks like death has won. Right now, it takes and it hurts and it alters life. It breaks hearts and pierces souls. But it is not our Lord or Master. Jesus is. Jesus holds us in his pierced hands. Death has no claim on us. In those hands we live, even as Jean lived. And in those hands we will die, even as Jean did. We won't ignore it or pretend like it doesn't hurt. It does. But neither will we be afraid of it. It is our enemy, but it has lost its teeth. It can harm us none. Tell me, what has death done? What has death taken away from Jean? She now is in heaven with our dear Lord and Savior. She is perfect and holy and righteous. She stands with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and with all who believed in Jesus as their Savior. She is all that she was created to be and then some. Why? Because Jesus died for her. Jesus loved her, baptized her, communed her, and she believed in him. So we're not trying to trick ourselves into feeling better or pretending like everything will be okay. But we are here to confess the reality that is Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Do you believe this? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.